coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
The clash of two economic kingdoms. Have you thought about this, folks? You're seeing right now in real time playing out right before you the takedown of the United States dollar, which happens to be roughly on parity with the EU. Interestingly enough, but a dozen years ago, I wrote they're just going to kill the dollar, and that's exactly what they're going to do, along with every other currency, and replace it, of course, with this cashless society. But before then, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be happening. And of course, we're seeing this happen right now. With me, I've got two gentlemen that I'm just so excited to have. Both of them, both of these gentlemen, you know, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and gen6.com, as well as Aaron Brickman. Aaron Brickman was on some time ago, a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was now, talking about the Skipper program, Skipper. And if you haven't seen that episode, my goodness, you have to take a look at that. But this is a little bit different. This is a clash of two economic kingdoms. And the reason Aaron Brickman is on, it's interesting because he holds a double major in poli-sci and history, but he's got experience in the military. He was one of the first entrepreneurs, internet entrepreneurs, made a ton of money, right? I don't know, but I do know that he's a financial guru when it comes to these things. And the discussion of late has been, what's going on economically? What's the end game economically? I want to show you this real quick, and I'm going to talk over this. There's no sound, but pay attention to what's on your screen here. In Henan, China, interestingly enough, the Henan branch of the Bank of China has declared that the people's savings in their branch are now, and I quote, the investment product, or are now investment products, and cannot be withdrawn. And there are tanks in front of the bank, just to drive that point home, in case anyone wants to make a withdrawal. You know, just to let you know that the ATMs are not working and the tellers really are not going to help you. That's just kind of a reminder there. You think that can't happen here? It most assuredly can. And in fact, you're starting to see cracks in the financial matrix as we speak. So there is that. So I'm going to get right to it. Oh, by the way, if you haven't done so already, please do me a favor. The link to Skipper, by the way, is going to be in the program description box today. You got to check that out. If you forgot about it, you thought, oh, man, I didn't. Check it out. I don't care if you are a mom, dad, aunt, uncle. If you know any child of school age, minor of school age, heck, I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? I wonder if they offer advanced degrees. And I'm kidding. Of course, homeschooling, Skipper, that's the place to go. And check out, as well as the investment opportunity that it affords. But again, different topic. And then, of course, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. But also check out, if you haven't done so already, don't just check this out. Register for our mini conference. I'm counting the days. We have 9 more days. You've got to register in the next 9 days. Doesn't mean you can't register after, but register in the next 9 days for the Egyptian Alien Connections in the Americas. This is a mini conference fundraiser. I am going to tell you this. Every single day, I look at the content of what's here. There's 3 videos that include interviews. But the PDF, the images that are contained within this PDF file that you're going to get, and the explanations and the hook, or the connection, I should say, between the present and the past will knock your socks off. So go to HagmanReport.com or stevequayle.com. Click on the link. to this particular mini conference. This is the, to me, this is like the best ever. And I mean that sincerely, because it was this particular this particular presentation where the light bulbs, you know, the cartoon light bulbs, they went off in my head. And I'm thinking, okay, wow, now I get it. All the work that I did with Russ Dizdar and his team, and still do with his team, now I understand, and so will you. So definitely register. 9 days to go before the kickoff of the mini conference. All right. I'm going to kick it right over to Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com. Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Doug, and it's really nice to have Aaron on, because for the years that we've known each other, going on pretty close to, I think, 18, 19 years, we both were at one point, he still is, he was a technical trader. I was a fundamental trader. The difference is he's been right more than I have. But the point being is that we're going to present the history of the world kind of in a condensed form, only as it relates to finances, where we're at right now. Because as we're on this evening's broadcast, Doug, 80% of small businesses are being turned down for any financial help whatsoever. You just talked about China. Tiananmen Square in the financial realm that's over there is coming here. Most people don't understand how even the Federal Reserve banks in the United States have contingencies of special operations, special military, not attaches, but actual guards, plans, and everything that of consequence, whether they had gold or anything, is pretty much out of the banks because they're anticipating the same thing in the United States. So with no further ado, I want to introduce you to Aaron. Obviously, you guys heard him talk about Skipper. He's the COO of Skipper, an amazing platform to take our children's lives back from the hellish, destructive public school sector. But even more than that, to regain family consensus. But what people confuse, Doug, is that there's a difference between the kingdom of God's finances and the way the world finances. In essence, rape, pillage, and plunder, the international bankers who serve Lucifer have taken this country under. And while the dollar's strengthening, I'll have Aaron deal with that, that's not a good thing, because at some point, we're going to see the orchestrated repudiation of the dollar by all of the OPEC nations, oil, petroleum exporting countries, and about 160 other nations. Because again, what's happening, it's never happened before. There'll never be a time like it. So finances, Jesus made an incredible statement. He said, make friends with yourself, or make friends of yourselves with unrighteous mammon. So when the true riches are given to you, you can be faithful. And most God's people have no clue that really Microsoft stock, Apple stock, I know people have made a lot of money, but we're going to talk about that. So Aaron, I don't want to take any of your time. Share where we're at, share how we got here, and just whatever else the Lord has laid on your heart. Thanks for coming on.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you, Doug. And that's quite an intro. I'm not big on bios. I still feel like I'm 18 years old trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. But thank you. Those were some kind intros. I mean, my passion has been, when looking back at how the tapestry of my life and what God's been doing in my life, I think I've always had a passion for the political system, a passion for history, a passion for truth in discovering. That's why I'm always fascinated by what you're writing, the books you're writing, the documentaries you're doing, Steve. I have a passion for truth. And so that's kind of led me into the business world and into finance. And then I got into trading. And like I think I said on a prior broadcast, I'm not a day trader. I don't care about what the market is doing today. But I do show up and get excited when crashes are about to appear. And crashes are not random. There's a lot of things that have to align and take place. both in a time sequence as well as geopolitics and technical indicators. So, and we are definitely approaching one of those events very, very soon, which we probably will get into. I have, I definitely think that, so I'm excited today to really talk about what's going on financially in the kingdom of this world, and then how do we prepare in the kingdom of God? What are the sons of light supposed to be doing financially, both in anticipation of this economic war, as well as thriving? You know, my passion has been, what has challenged me as I've gotten older is why I know my Heavenly Father owns all the cattle. He owns everything. Everything is at his disposal. And yet the average Christian has not been thriving financially, has not been setting the pace that the world should be emulating. In fact, many Christian businessmen are looking to Amazon, looking to Microsoft, looking to Apple, you know, reading their bios, reading what they do in management styles. And it's really grieved me because we really have been, we should be setting the pace. And so what I am hoping is about to come out of this financial storm is men and women like myself, like my wife, that really the Davids will come forth out of the caves, that men and women of God will come forth in the midst of difficult circumstances with the anointing and with the blessing of God upon them, and really to redefine what it means to be a steward in the kingdom, and to the point that it is life-changing. It impacts our local community, it impacts our school, it impacts our place of worship, our businesses, our friendships. That's kind of just to set the conversation for today. That's really what I want. The takeaway is I want people to think differently about the financial events that are coming, to look at it not as a glass is half empty, but that it is. I am so excited for what is coming in the future. I am so blessed for such a time as this. I look at it's going to be an opportunity to set the pace and to spread the gospel and to really build new systems. And so that's my hope, is that the audience today after this hour and a half is inspired to really embrace the change that God is going to bring to planet Earth, to not look at it as a loss of a bygone era, but as an exciting, we're going to see something new. And it's not just something new that World Economic Forum or Klaus Schwab want to bring about. God is moving amongst them. Okay. Just because they tell you what they're going to do to you does not mean that they get to do that. We have a choice in this matter. God certainly has a plan. And so I'm just excited about the future. If I would not be establishing and pouring all my money into Skipper and working on it tirelessly if I did not know that A, I was told by God to do it, and B, that it's going to be successful, that there's an opportunity in the midst of a financial storm that's coming to still prosper and to still be obedient to the Lord and still make an impact.
Well, Aaron, you know, and if you don't mind, you know me, I like to get to what we're bringing the people to. But as you watch the financial, because that's your expertise, deal with it. Don't worry about choosing your words and trying to say it right. Just the top 7-8 things right now that are indicating that, you know, we're in a different time. We're unlike any time, whether it's a housing crash that's unfolding now, whether it's the interest rates that are rising. And Doug, one of the things that Aaron does is he monitors, like, you know, he's followed these guys like Charles Nenner and obviously Martin Armstrong. And what the world's experts who are really experts, and some of these guys get paid a huge amount of money. And I think, Aaron, that's what I want you, if you don't mind, to bring to the Hagman listeners right now, because again, you know, what I'm saying is use the issues that you and I talk about privately at the speed we talk about them on this thing, because it's really critical. Because what you know, since you don't do a lot of interviews, it's the time just gets eaten up, and there's so much that I got to get out of you within, you know, the time we have. So in essence, brother, we are just at the Le Mans kicking into the red line. So go for it. Okay.
And one kind of just laying the groundwork as well. The demographics of our show, look, we're talking with people primarily in the U.S. and Canada, but we also have listeners in many, many Western countries, from Australia to the U.K. and elsewhere. But we don't have a ton of money. So, you know, investment, discretionary income to throw, oh, let's toss 100 grand into whatever. So just kind of to set the stage as to who you're talking to. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Doug. So to jump right in, and maybe I'll just make some blanket statements. So the blanket statement is I'm preparing to be short the market and trade what will probably be the crash of the century. Nobody knows that yet, but I have a suspicion we're going to see something on the order of 1929 or larger. That is because the amount of money that has been poorly allocated into the markets and printed out of thin air over the last 10 years, specifically since 08, is begging for a resolution. The World Economic Forum already told you you're going to own nothing and be happy. I'm not sure the latter half of that statement will be true, but they certainly want you to own nothing. And so everything that is in motion, everything that is occurring right now, I don't look at anything that we're about to talk about as something that is future tense. It's something that's already been set in motion. And as I told Steve in our past conversation, it's really the unveiling. What we're about to see is an unveiling of events that that go back at least back to the 2008 crisis. Nothing has been solved. Nothing was addressed in the 2008 crisis. And in fact, if you look at the derivative exposure, they doubled down. They set horrific precedents. The 2008, you were about to see corporate defaults in mass. We're not looking at corporate defaults in mass this time. We're looking at national defaults. We're looking at Federal Reserve banks of countries going under. That is why they are accelerating and bringing forward their 2030 agenda, because they know that the hour is very, very late, financially speaking. So what we're going to see is a constriction of the money supply, a constriction of access to credit. It's going to be similar to the 70s. In fact, we're already eclipsing almost all of the data, all of the metrics from the 1970s already. And when I say the 70s, I'm talking about the latter half, more like 78, 79, which was the peak of inflation. We're just getting started on inflation. So we're going to see the value of the dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, continue to decline as the cost of necessities gets more expensive. But it's different from the 70s because it's not a typical supply-demand equation. It's not the fact that there's been this huge growth in consumerism that is outstripping the ability to manufacture and keep up. It is literally that they have broken the global supply chains. And those global supply chains broke going into COVID. Steve and I talked about it. Steve and I knew they will never repair those global supply chains. Okay. People don't understand the complexity of the global system that has been constructed since Bretton Woods. Okay. It took them decades, 50, 60 years post-World War II to really usher in globalism. And globalism was only ushered in the last 20 years. It was only, it really got kickstarted once China was admitted to the WTO. Okay. And you'll notice that at that stage was literally the creation of Amazon, was literally these entities that give us an abundance of goods delivered to our house at an incredible price. And those days are going to be coming to an end as globalism breaks, as the supply chain breaks, as it's harder and harder to get stuff. So one of my, so knowing that, one of my simple recommendations to people is continue, when you go to purchase stuff, you know, it's the old military adage, one is none, two is one. You know, you really need to be purchasing more in bulk. And we're not just talking about food items. We're talking about things that you're going to need. Look, they're not getting cheaper. I don't know if people are paying attention to the price, the trajectory of prices in the last 2 or 3 years, but things are not going to get cheaper for a long time. And we're going to get to a point, and I know it's very hard for American people to grasp this. If you have not traveled overseas, then this whole concept is going to be foreign to you. But there comes a day when it doesn't matter how much money you have. If it's not available, it's not available. And I have traveled throughout Central and South America and Africa, and it didn't matter how much money I was willing to pay for something, it was not available. And we are definitely going to, and God gave us that warning with COVID. You know, when I walked into Sam's and Costco during COVID and you saw entire sections missing pallets of goods, that was God asking, are you paying attention? Are you preparing? And he continues to give us these winks and these nods. And so one of the things is we just need to, for those who are on a limited budget, you know, just try and continue to add and buy it. Pull your purchasing forward, because if you delay in purchasing these goods, they're just going to get more expensive. So where Nenner, let's talk about it real quick for those that are not familiar with Charles Nenner. Charles Nenner is one of the type cycle analysts. He used to be at Goldman Sachs. He was actually in charge of training all Goldman Sachs traders in cycle analysis. It's interesting that they tell the public they can't time the market, yet all the traders are being trained in how to time the market. He has told his subscribers to get out of the stock market. For anybody listening to this broadcast that is still invested in the stock market, my estimate is you have about 3 to 4 weeks to exit the market. Maybe the longest is 6 weeks. You have some time between mid and late August to be completely out of the market. After that point, I would suggest that you do not even begin to enter the market until between March and August of 2023. And you will see at least a 50%, at least a bare minimum 50% drop in the market in the next 12 months.
Okay. Well, Aaron, let me interrupt you here. I mean, obviously somebody that you introduced me to, Martin Armstrong, just bottom lined it on the late market, keeps bottom lining it. But Martin Armstrong is, you know, he just came out, 2023 is not a happy time. And I think what people have got to understand, this isn't for investors that the Hagman Report is interviewing myself, but kind of as an introductor to Aaron Brickman. But the bottom line is that he's a technical trader, but he reads all this stuff, Doug. And, you know, in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. But the point is that people must understand that the, and I think most everybody's, not you, Aaron, but most everybody's too afraid to use the P word, panic, okay? I don't think people understand what happens when goods and services are basically cut off. I mean, what happens? Well, they panic. What are we seeing in China? Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about China and the whole, if you will, data acquisition. And I made the statement years ago when all the big tech in the United States went over there, everything they did in China to be able to produce a surveillance society for the Chinese government is here now. So what is critical is that as the banks are, let's just deal with that. The banks will take customers' deposits when, in your opinion, Aaron, or do you think they will?
Well, the groundwork has been laid legally for that, for bail-ins. Okay, so that's on the books. They did that probably, I think, in 2013, 2014. So clearly what they're doing, and look, at the end of the day, all they have to do is change the rules. Wall Street is famous for changing the rules. I mean, we had a derivative default by Greece, what was that, 2012? And they literally changed the definition of what a derivative default was to avoid a cascade of the European banking system. Okay, so look, these are the money masters. These are the puppet masters. They can change the rules, and you have to understand when you're operating in their kingdom, when you're operating in their banking system, when you're operating in their in holding their investments, that I liken it to walking into Vegas in the 1960s. Okay, you can win at the craps table, but you have to understand the mob owns that casino, and you will not make it out of the parking lot. Okay, they'll let you have a couple of drinks and entertain yourself for the weekend, but you are not taking their money. Okay, and that is true for Wall Street. Okay, I used to tell my grandmother, Wall Street is not here to make you money. You are here to make Wall Street money. Don't ever forget the direction of flow. Okay, and that's what these panics are all about. These panics are wash, rinse, repeat. They get the average person to buy high and sell low. The same thing is occurring in cryptocurrency, where they know what they want to do with cryptocurrency, so they're accumulating on each panic. So they can make extraordinary amounts of wealth while basically shaking the weak hands from holding positions. The reason I talk about Wall Street, even if your audience is not directly invested in the stock market, is because that will dictate, it flows into access to credit for small and medium-sized businesses. It flows into, you know, are my deposits going to be safe in the banking system? What's going to happen to my 401k? So people really, even if they're not directly holding shares in the stock market, what will happen to the stock market will definitely impact their life. It will impact the cost of goods, the access to goods, the access to credit, basically everything that how we operate. And you can go back to 08 and see, I was running a company in 08, and oh my gosh, every college kid, I mean, they thought it was a rite of passage to get a six-figure salary straight out of college. And boy, after 08, they didn't have that same assumption. You know, there was massive layoffs, massive, you know, housing collapse. I mean, it took years for that to work out of the system for the average person. Lots of bankruptcies. That was with them papering over the system. Now, it's debatable whether they can paper over the system one more time. And I will say that some of the things I'll say, you know, Steve and I don't necessarily agree on every single issue in life. I mean, that's human nature, right? We have difference of opinion. I am still on the fence of whether this will be the complete unraveling of the system. And the only reason I say that is because these are the magicians. Do not underestimate their ability to change the rules, bribe officials, print money. There is, every time you, as a trader, you have to respect their ability to cheat, lie, steal, and kick the can. But we are definitely, I will say this, each of these crises, and you can look back to 2001's stock market crash, each crisis is getting more severe, deeper in financial loss, more impactful to the economy. And so it's kind of like tremors before the big one, right? Those tremors are getting larger and more frequent. And that is definitely a warning that the system will not maintain for too much longer. Having said that, we're not talking about 20 years on this financial system. We're talking 3, 4, 5 years if they could even overcome that. And that's going to become an issue next year. 2023 is going to be really the point. Martin Armstrong is basically saying if his computer, and by the way, Martin Armstrong, you know, his software, if you don't know who he is, I highly recommend you research and look into who he is and what he has done. Probably he is the smartest cycles guy on the planet. The Federal Reserve banks of the world consult with him because of his models. He was put in prison for years because the CIA wanted access to his models, and he refused to hand over the source code. He has accurately predicted 9/11 to the day. I mean, there's a lot of things that he is known for, and he's basically saying that never in history has he seen a bigger collection of warmongers than exists on the planet today. He said there is not one world leader that is advocating peace, and he is extremely concerned about where he's way beyond finances. He's talking about war cycles, where we are headed in 2023 in the social impact that we're going to have in China, Europe, and that will eventually spread to the United States. I do want to make this statement about the dollar. Let's talk about the dollar real quick.
Hey, Aaron, before you go there, I want to ask you, I don't know if you saw just the latest news, but the El Destructos in our Defense Department want to send all American A-10s, F-16s, and F-15 and 16s to the Ukraine. And, you know, it's got to be obvious. You've got to be trained in those crafts, so it's going to be American pilots, 60,000 National Guardsmen. So with the intentional depletion of U.S. military personnel, either forcing them out through vaccination, lack of equipment, there's just not enough weapons right now, or even surveillance planes to cover the Gulf of Mexico, the West Coast, and East Coast. They're shifting them around. So does that, and these things happen, Doug, you know, almost like hourly. And that's not, I stay up on that. That's not necessarily that Aaron doesn't, but I just do stay up on it. And yet, does that influence you in seeing the dumbest military decisions ever made in history being made right before your eyes?
Well, I see that, we are witnessing suicide in the West in mass at national levels. The entire Western Hemisphere is suicidal. The Bible says insanity is in the heart of men. And we are literally living in a time period. We're now starting to see where insanity, a reprobate mind, logic and reasoning and common sense, what we have always attributed to common sense, is nothing but a gift from God, operating both in the lost as well as Christians. Okay. And because this was once a godly nation, so even the pagans were acting in a semi-moral stance, there was a general blessing upon the mind and the thought process in the West. In the Bible, it is very clear that there are three stages, in my opinion, to what we are witnessing. The first stage is where you no longer hunger and thirst for truth. You no longer hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay. The second stage is where you reject truth. Okay. And we can see in our experience over the last 10, 15 years, a rejection in the West of truth. Okay. But the third and the most dangerous line to be crossed is where we then cross over to calling evil good and good evil. And when we do that, when we celebrate deception as truth and cast down those that purport truth, then you are given over to a reprobate mind. You are done. Okay. You are done as a civilization. You are done as an individual. Because truth is not something to be discovered. Contrary to what they've told the populace over the last 400 years with the Age of Enlightenment. Truth is never discovered. Truth is personified in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, okay? And so truth is something that is made present to us, that is revealed to us. We don't just stumble upon truth. It has to be supernaturally revealed to us. It was revealed to this nation. This is why this nation is an exceptional nation in the history of nations. But it's because they sought our entire experience, going back to the Mayflower Compact and the Pilgrim. It was an experiment, and they were seeking, you know, religious freedom. They were seeking to be able to practice truth. So what we are now seeing is literally the death of truth. We're seeing a full rejection of truth, not just Jesus. We're seeing a rejection of all things that are true. Okay. Now here's the problem when you do that. I liken it to a ship in a storm. If you cut your anchor in the midst of a storm, you're going to be tossed to and fro, and good luck ever getting that anchor back. Good luck finding that anchor. Once you reject truth, once you are deceived, think this theologically, once you are deceived, how will you ever recognize truth when it's presented ever again? Okay? The only way you'll ever even recognize the truth is if it's revealed supernaturally to you by the Holy Spirit. How are you going to recognize truth once you have embraced deception? This is a very dangerous time period in the West. So because of that, we are literally committing suicide. We're watching our education system. Look, our education system isn't being torn down by homeschoolers. Our education system is not being torn down by the religious right. Our education system is literally being destroyed from within by their own hands. And it makes me laugh, actually. This is where, in the Bible, when you get into judgment, God uses wicked nations to judge other wicked nations, and then he uses other wicked nations to judge that wicked nation, okay? And so he's dismantling these systems by their own hands. So when we talk about military destruction, look, the Russians don't have to do anything. If I'm the Russians and the Chinese, I am playing for time. Time is on their side. It is not on the West side. Okay. All they have to do is buy for time. In inertia and gravity alone, objects in motion tend to stay in motion, right? Well, this object that's in motion, that's been set in motion in the United States, is traveling downhill. They barely have to do anything but allow more time for this to self-implode, for self-immolation. And I think that's what you're seeing in the political scene in Europe. That's what you're seeing with gas and oil supplies and disruptions of fertilizer and wheat and all these issues that you guys have been reporting on. It's not at the Russians' bidding. This has all been started and aggravated and perpetuated by policy by Europe and the United States. Now, we can argue whether there's puppet masters behind the scene at the World Economic Forum that are part of that plan. It doesn't really matter. It's all by our own doing. And it's. Let me say this, and this is a challenge to the audience. I don't get mad at Klaus Schwab. I do not get mad at Joe Biden. I do not get mad at these sociopaths. They are being true to their nature. The problem is with us. The problem is not with sociopaths. Okay. The problem is that we are tolerating this in our world leaders. We're tolerating this on Wall Street. We continue to tolerate it and yet expect a different outcome. And that is insanity. Okay. The public, our founding fathers understood where the power lie and always lies. And it's we, the people. Okay.
The power. But Aaron, hold there. Okay, then if that's true, And Doug, then how would you respond to that question? I'm not trying to lead this, but that's a very powerful question. The power lies in we the people, but the people have abdicated the power and the apathy, indifference, surrender to evil. Doug, what are your thoughts on, do the people even care anymore? Aaron, I just want to give you a break and ask Doug this. In your opinion, Doug, do the people even care anymore? Because what we're seeing is the attack on the Constitution. George Bush Jr. made this statement. He took the name of the Lord our God in vain, and piece of paper. We're seeing the Constitution's outdated, blah, blah, blah. Isn't it interesting that everything that gave us the freedom, gave us the success, and even those horrors in Washington known as senators and congressmen and congresswomen, same story, but they attack the very foundation of their blessing. What are your thoughts on that, Doug? Because from an investigative standpoint, the amount of evidence available is that, you know, there, and I'm saying this, and obviously Aaron and I don't agree on everything, and nor do we have to, but Doug, what are your thoughts on we the people?
Okay.
You think they're, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're right in terms of, you know, it's kind of our fault in the sense. But I'm still pissed off at Klaus Schwab. I'm still pissed off at Kissinger, Brzezinski, any globalist, Bill Gates, so you can't take that away from me. All right.
Yeah. But, and I won't. Yeah.
But.
And I am also equally pissed off. Okay.
Okay. But wait a second. Okay. You say it's up to us. All right. Now, it was up to all. There were nearly, tens of thousands, if not a million people on January 6th that went to the Capitol that were equally upset about the November 3rd election. And look where many of them are now. So a lot of people, I get emails like this, and please address this. I get emails like this, and even I'm saying, and I'm hitting my knees every night asking God, what can I do? I mean, I'm willing to do whatever. Okay. I'm willing to spend the rest of my life in jail. Okay. If I, whatever you want me to do, tell me what to do. So I'm asking you, okay, if we're to be upset with ourselves, what should we be doing to fight this? And how can we fight this when we're in a rigged casino? You said it yourself. The mob ain't going to let us walk out of the casino with our craps winnings. It's just not going to happen. So what can we do right now, given the circumstances?
Don't play. You set new terms. Look, history is replete with the example. Gandhi brought down the British Empire in India. Martin Luther King Jr. upended the plans that they had in the United States. Okay. And it was short-lived. His life was short-lived, and we can debate the merits of, you know, his life. But what he was doing was nonviolent protest. Okay. He was literally going to attack them in the streets, not cooperate, not be part of the system. Look, it's time. We're supposed to be coming out of Babylon. I've read the Bible. We're supposed to come out of Babylon. We are supposed to be separate. Okay. So it's going to be very hard to be separate if our 401k is tied into financially supporting the very tech entities that are destroying the family and destroying the fabric of this nation. Okay. It's going to a holding a sign. The powers that be do not care about you holding a sign. I have read that no history will demonstrate that that is effective. Okay. We have got to start putting our money where our mouth is. Okay. Because that is their lifeblood. It's the lifeblood of their system. It's the lifeblood of any business. Okay. You squeeze out the money and the system will fail. It will fall. You will impact. And it doesn't take very many people doing this.
Okay, wait a second. Because maybe I'm slow, okay? So you cash out your 401k, you cancel Netflix, you cancel, you stop ordering from Amazon. You get all your fiat dollars in the pile on the table right here in the kitchen table. You buy your food, guns, ammunition, you're set, gold, silver, right? Is that what, so, I mean, but you come out of Babylon, but where do you go?
Okay, so this entire country, the backbone of this country was local small business. That was it. Okay. It wasn't transnational corporations. It wasn't national corporations. It wasn't national chains. Okay. It was support, even banking. When you get back into looking at banking and looking at loans, those were local banks making loans to people that they knew in their local community in betting on their success. It wasn't at a national or federal level. Okay, all of this stuff has been federalized, and it's so removed from our daily existence, okay, that the average person is not thinking about supporting a local restaurant when they make a decision to eat out. So they're going to, by default, go to a national chain maybe. And look, these national chains, there's nothing per se against them right now. What I'm saying is we are so overwhelmed, okay, in this system that our default has been, okay, well, the problem must be at the top. And so if I elect this one entity to be president of the United States, somehow all of this is going to get magically fixed. When, and you know this, though, you've been reporting on this, the rot is systemic. It's systemic.
Agreed.
It is not just at the top. It goes from the school boards to your local city councils. This rot is throughout every layer. Okay, and it's through the layers of the religious institutions, the financial institutions, the educational. It is systemic. So when I hear about, well, we're going to elect this person to be president and somehow it's going to be fixed, it's like having stage four cancer and your solution is to switch doctors. That's what you're going to tell me is going to fix the problem. And we do this every 4 years. But history will prove that that is not the way that you attack these issues. You have to go local again. Look, the plans of the enemy were never to just capture the office of the presidency. They were to infect the system at every level, okay? And the only way that we're going to combat this is by doing the same thing. And that is where we take our money, we take our business, we take our support, we start understanding and start meeting up again in communities, we start knowing who our neighbors are, if we're talking about global collapse, if we're talking about supply chain collapse, if we're talking about, you know, some of these darker topics, it always goes back to local, right? I mean, eventually, everybody, you know, all your guests, anybody that you talk to, it has to be a local solution. Well, this federalization, this globalization, the only way you're going to address it is at the local level, okay? And this goes into Skipper, and I'm not here to tout Skipper. I don't care if you invest in Skipper or not. I really don't. But Skipper is, we're going to go back and we're going to address the issues with the 4, 5, 6, 7, 10-year-olds, and we're going to address it at a family level and with the teacher, because that's where they changed America to begin with, right?
Agreed. They removed good point
God out of school. Yep. Okay, we go back to the 60s and their whole agenda, and so I find it interesting that God is raising up Skipper and he's challenging homeschooling, and there's all kinds of things that are going on in this nation to redress the issues of family life. Okay, because that is the core of what Satan is destroying. And of course, as the family goes, so goes the nation. So again, we have to be thinking local. We have to know what God. Okay, Doug, you're doing an incredible job. You want to talk about what you're doing? What you are exercising your calling and your giftings that God has given to you, and you're being faithful day in and day out on the radio. Okay, so you've done your part. Okay. Now, is there more that you can do? I'm sure there is. But this is a call to all of us to go before the Lord and find out what are we supposed to be doing.
Okay. Not to take you off your tangent, but you had mentioned Martin Armstrong moments ago. He was on with Greg Hunter 2 days ago. Okay. And what you said is absolutely right. I agree 100%. But right now, Armstrong, using his Socrates computer program that you spoke of, he's predicting that next year, hey, it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be the year from hell, to be precise. He said he's predicting a war cycle that hits in 2023, but that's also civil unrest domestically and in other countries as well. We're seeing that break out now. So, okay, so I agree with everything that you said with respect to, okay, we need to take back that local. But boy, I'll tell you what, you know, it's difficult to be homeschooling and to teaching our children when we're dodging and bullets and, you know, ducking or bleeding, you know, from the mortars, right? I mean, so
well, let me step in, Doug. I agree with you. And again, here's one of the issues that I think that is everybody's got to come to grips with. When you had a local community that had local banks, everything that Aaron's saying is absolutely correct. But now we're seeing destruction of the farm at a local level, okay, across the country. No farms, no food, no food, no commerce. And it's so pervasive on local levels that even all the different federal agencies are going and checking how many chickens that, you know, backyard chicken raiser has, what the holding capacity is. And then the other thing that I think is critical, and I think people need to understand this, most people nowadays, I believe it's, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Aaron, but 80% of people use their credit cards now for day-to-day expenses. It's up that high, 80%. So if 80% of the people that are relying on credit cards to live, if that, and there's a kill button, Doug, I think you and I've done this on other shows, there is a kill button. I have to, here's the thing. I believe God gives nations time to repent. And so do you, you know, Aaron, and we've talked about it and are over our whole friendship. But the ability right now to function and to do let me say this, the foundation to do what should have, could have, and must have been done is being taken away step by step. Because when you take small business, notice this, it's kind of interesting. 8 out of 10 small businesses now are being refused commercial loans because they understand the devils that are, the international, even down to the mainstream banks. And those, I can't say that, stop me, thank you, Lord. Those entities are absolutely robbing the Main Street at the expense of what? The Main Street is robbed at the expense of Wall Street, in essence. People still have, and I think this is what you're trying to say, Aaron, I'm going to bottom line it for you too. The illusion of investing in the world system is what's destroying the local community. Go ahead.
You can't participate. Look, if you participate with the system, you are supporting the system. Okay, to the degree, and we all are participating to a degree. So this isn't, I'm not, and you guys are bad because you are. I love that we're all, it is so entrenched. What has happened with the federalization and globalization has been so systemic and so slow that we don't recognize even all the aspects of our life, of how it's affected us, how it's affected our thought process and our daily life. Look, the system is not going to survive. That is not in question. Okay. They know it's not going to survive, and we know it's not going to survive. What is up for grabs is what is the new system, okay? What is the new system? We are at the end of the fourth turning, or we're going to be at the end of the fourth turning here very shortly in the next 6-7 years, okay? What emerges in the 2030s will be cemented for the next 80 years. That's just the principles of the fourth turning. If you're not familiar with it, read the book. So I have a thing to say about education. I know that there's others that are affecting church and media that have an idea of what, okay, are we going to be successful? I'm not saying we're going to be successful, but I'm going to have a voice. I am not going to go quietly into that night.
Amen.
And that should be the response of the sons of light at all times on planet Earth. Okay. We should always be ready to step forward. In part of Doug, what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying, guys, is look, why are we not seeing it in mass in the United States? Put very simply, they're ignorant of history. they've been lied to and told that you are the only one. Everybody else is okay with the direction of this country. You're the only one that seems to not be getting with the program. So they isolate everybody. Okay. And then they overwhelm you. Okay. And so I really think we're looking at, if you were looking at the conservatives in the United States, it's almost, you know, a battlefield mentality where it's their first 5 minutes under fire and they're totally shell-shocked. Okay. And the military trains us. The reason the military trained us with live fire exercises is that we would not go into lockdown mode the first time we encountered enemy fire, that it would be muscle memory and we would begin to move. And I know, Doug, as an investigator, you guys did plenty of training to do the same thing where you are. It's a muscle memory. Okay. And you begin to react and think differently, unnaturally, really. You start running towards the fire versus retreating.
Roger that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is not a natural response. It takes a lot of training to do that.
Especially okay. in Uvalde, Texas. Huh, Aaron?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Steve. Go ahead.
So, Uvalde. Right? Aaron, you're, I think people need to understand too. He's a very quiet, unassuming guy, you know, but the guy's a ranger. Okay. And I mean, you know, for those of you who know what rangers are, I mean, they're taught to charge the fire and I won't repeat some of the things, no swear words or anything, but just the passivity, the apathy, the indifference. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been, how should I say this, group psychosisized, psychosis, I'm just making that word up. But there is a, how do I say this? The ability to think, Aaron, has been robbed due to education pollution. And basically what you're just saying, where we're at, we're watching Saul Alinsky's dedicated book, Rules for Radicals, dedicated to Lucifer, the ultimate rebel in politics at a local level. And that local level political body, the vast majority of communities have more non-leftists, communists, trans sane people, trans insanity, you know, it even goes beyond insanity. The bottom line is, but there is no cohesive. Here's the deal. How do you motivate corpses? That's my simple question. How do you motivate a corpse? Do you have to turn it into Frankenstein, or you can't?
No, look, apart from, Vegas will not give this nation odds of surviving without the intervention of God Almighty. Okay. So first and foremost, all three of us can agree that it starts with spiritual regeneration. Okay. And that is a process. That is a daily process. The salvation is a one-time event, but regeneration is a process. Okay. And so we are needing our minds constantly regenerated by God. We are needing to get daily instructions and in a perilous time of what to do individually. Okay. What this program, what I'm trying to do is rouse you out of your slumber and say, whatever you've been doing, you can do better. Whatever you have been doing, Steve, whatever I've been doing, there's always room for improvement. And we really need to hunger and thirst for that righteousness and be back in front of the Lord going, did I do enough? The money, and you know what I'm about to say is, look, people, the money, all the money in your bank account is not yours. None of it is yours. If you're a child of God, all that money is His. Okay? If you're a child of God, you have no time. You have no free time. All your time is the Lord's. It was bought and paid with the ultimate price. Okay? You are a bond servant of the Lord. So if we will remember this daily, we will use our time differently. We will spend our money differently. We will inquire of the Lord. We are going to stand before Him in stewardship, and we are going to give an account. 90% of the parables in the gospel have to do with stewardship. 90%. 90% of the parables Jesus is talking about have to do with money.
Okay. If it was that important that 90% of the parables during his 3.5 year ministry are dealing with money, we should be paying attention. It's not ours. It's his. Okay. I very quickly was, I sold my company. I had a couple $1 million in the bank. I had moved to the Caribbean. I was 35 years old. I had checked out of life. Done. Okay. It was the worst 2 years of my life because I was not created to do that. I was totally out of God's will. Okay. And he called my wife and I to build Skipper. And I remember going, okay, I'll build Skipper. I'll re-engage. I need you to send investors. And he very clearly said, what are you talking about? You have $2 million in savings. And I said, well, no, I mean, that's the sale of my last company. That's, you know, that's for retirement. That's like, and he was very clear. That's not yours. I didn't give you $2 million so you could sit on a beach for the rest of your life. Okay. That is what the world has been preaching us, is that we're going to put this money away and we're going to retire at a certain age and we're going to go golf at 5 days a week and we are going to check out of life. I find nowhere in scriptures do the men of God engage in that behavior. Okay. If that's what he has for you, God bless you. That's not what he had for me. And he would not give us any investors until I had put all that money into Skipper and spent it. It was his. Okay. I know that God is going to bless this endeavor because I have been totally faithful and obedient with every single dime that he gave me. Had I held any of it back, the failure is on me. I was disobedient. We need to get to the point where we are so obedient that if it fails, it's God's fault. Now, God's not going to fail. He's never failed at anything he's ever done. He's waiting for us to completely trust him with our time, our finances, our families, our job, our career. Okay. We're going to go into storms. Now, here's the thing about what he's been doing since the 08 crisis. He can bring you to that point as a nation, or you can volunteer for that assignment. It's way better if during times of peace and prosperity, and even today is peace and prosperity, that we are not put into the fire before we have to realize that we need to trust him and that it's all his. Okay, so he said he was going to shake everything that can be shaken. It's a refiner's fire. The stuff that's not of the Lord is going to ultimately burn. Okay, I want to have a legacy and a testimony. I know you two gentlemen want to have a legacy and testimony. And we know that anything apart from the Lord is not going to survive. So my admonition to everybody is we need to look, the system is up for grabs. Your family is up for grabs. Your local school is up for grabs. What we are witnessing is not just, look, the Lord is allowing this destruction. I tell people, you can't have the kingdom of God. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be Amen. Done. Okay. And yet, every time we watch the kingdom of man getting shook, we freak out. We think, well, no, we got to go back and we got to repair it. We got to continue to have our way of life. Let me tell you, if you are truly praying that the kingdom of God comes and his will be done, it is going to be destructive. Violent. Things are going to radically shift in your life. Okay. It's good. If we're praying for his kingdom to come in this nation, I'm telling you, this nation is going to be shook to its core because there are things that have to be destroyed for his kingdom to be built up. Okay. So when I look at shaking, when I look at what is coming financially or with war or global supply chains or food, I have a smile on my face. I can be like a Proverbs 31 woman who looks to the future and smiles. Okay. Because if I'm walking with the Lord and I am actively engaged in what he told me to do, okay, then I know that his word is not going to return void. I know that he is going to get the victory, and not just in some biblical general sense of the word. I'm talking about where you are co-laboring specifically with what he told you to do, and you can do it with 100% peace, 100% confidence, 100% faith. Okay, that's where when we look, when he really tells you what the end of the movie is going to be, in the midst of it, in the midst of the second and third act, we can still have the peace and the joy of the Lord, knowing how it is specifically going to turn out. I want to have that peace in the midst of, look, you know me, Steve, I went through Rangers, I've been through all that stuff, okay? The average person talking about the stuff that is coming has no idea how hard it's going to be. I shudder because I have an inkling. Okay, I've been 40 days without food. I've been 3 days without water. I've been 90 days with 2 hours of sleep. I have done things that the average person cannot do. Okay, and I know my breaking point. And I'm telling you, God will find your breaking point. Every person will have a breaking point. So it's best that we engage with him and find out what we should be doing, and so that there is grace. The thing today about, you know, we are going to go in and we're going to see the biggest wealth transfer. Okay. What the way we are going to witness this coming decade is a massive wealth transfer. But just because you are a Christian does not mean you participate in the wealth transfer. The Bible is very clear. You are going to reap what you sow. It's true for the lost. It's true for his children. It is a principle throughout Scripture. If you want to reap grace, if you want to reap mercy, you need to be sowing grace and mercy. If you want to reap a financial harvest, then you need to be engaging and trying to outgive God. Okay, which is impossible, but it's a very fun endeavor. That means it's not that 10%, the tithe, of course that's his. It's all his. So start out giving God. For those that have more money than they know what to do with, and that's not everybody, try and outgive God and see if he cannot overwhelm you with financial blessing. Okay?
And by outgiving God, excuse me, that does not mean giving to your church, right?
Yes, that's not what he's saying.
That's a great point, Doug. I've had Christian businessmen and women ask me about, you know what? I had a woman in Australia contact me and want to invest in Skipper. And she was a beautiful woman. And she had been praying for years about this opportunity. And God kept telling her, you need to give it to me. And she was a little puzzled because, like, you mean give it to my local church? So, and she was so excited when she heard about Skipper and called, because she's like, you are the answer to that prayer. I didn't understand. And so you're absolutely right, Doug. Look, he's going to sometimes ask you to give to your local church. He's going to ask to give to missions. He's going to ask to give to business. He's going to ask. And there was the other thing that was confusing. She didn't know if it was investing or giving, right? Well, sometimes he's going to ask that you give with no strings attached, but he has plenty of parables about stewardship, about investing in the kingdom, about a return on your investment. Okay. What we're talking about is the money is not yours. It's at his discretion. It's at his disposal. It's you're spending it the way he wants you to spend it. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Okay. So you're absolutely right, Doug. It's not just about giving. I'm clear about this. It's not just about giving it away. And it's certainly not just about giving it to your local congregation. Okay. God is beyond that. It's going to be dynamic. He had me build a company with the money that he had blessed me with. And that was not on my radar, but I'm telling you, it's been the hardest thing I've done since Ranger Battalion. Okay. It has required tremendous faith, tremendous hard work. But there's been a joy in it. And as I am obedient and I'm engaged in it, I know at the end of the day, he's not having,
He's not having me do it so he can take my money away from me and leave me poor. That's not the God that I serve. That's not who my Heavenly Father is. Everything he does in our life, even when we don't understand it, is to our benefit. And we really, as a people, have got to get to not just the intellectual belief of that, but belief through our actions, where we're really recommitting to him. And I'm telling you, and I'm probably rambling a little here, Doug, but I'll say this because somebody needs to hear this. It has grieved me for decades on why we don't see a ton of Christian billionaires. Okay. We have access to the mind of God. We have access through the Holy Spirit. Okay. You want to talk about creativity? The church, the Christian businessmen should be blowing this world away with creativity, creative ideas, okay, companies, new ways of doing things. So why are we not seeing Christian billionaires all over the place? And I really believe that there's only one simple explanation. We do not have, in the church, in Christendom at large, we do not have enough men that have the moral integrity to survive such a test.
I want to address that too, Doug, if I might, because most people don't realize the place of a pastor, the place of a overseer, bishop, whatever, is to raise up people and put them forward so they're successful, not the phony baloney. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Phony baloney of you give the rich man. Now, the rich man's rich because you guys have given all your money to me, and you guys are all a bunch of fools because I've taken all your money. No, the idea is to raise up and release. And so what Aaron is saying, Doug, I absolutely agree. It's not that your pastor, well, my pastor has a 50,000 member church, is on four jets, blah, 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 blah. But I want to look at the congregation. Is anybody there in need? Is anybody there, abandoned, hopeless? There's a little old widow that you're saying, you give to the rich man, he's going to. It is, in my opinion, Aaron, the total upside down pyramid. And I think it's bogus. I think it's wrong. And I think it's basically high treason against the kingdom of God. And I do. Now, the difference is that what you're saying is that being faithful to God, given it shall be given unto you. And, you know, Doug, you and I have some of the most amazing people, both collectively and individually, that have taken the needs of others and put them before their own. They're faithful in giving. They care about the widows, which we minister, single moms, real ones. We, you know, about the veterans we care for, meaning financially. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, the deal is that the parables are not terribles. They're parables. And when Jesus said there was a certain man, there really was that man. When he says that, you know, the kingdom of God is likened unto this. So this is something I think, Aaron, that, you know, the children of this world are more wiser in their generation than the children of light. That's the truth. And that's the answer to your question. Why aren't there more Christian billionaires?
So when I first, my father-in-law was very successful. He was a very successful businessman. And I remember asking him, I don't know how it came up in conversation early in our marriage, but he basically said, Aaron, you know why there's a lot of millionaires? There's less people with 10 million, less people with 100 million, and less billionaires as you go up the ladder. And, you know, I'm like 23 years old. I don't know anything. So I basically said, I do not know. And he said, risk. He said, each of those stages requires you to risk it all. And there's fewer guys, there's fewer men and women at those levels that will lay it all down on the line. I'll tell you, that's biblical. When you look at the life of Abraham, when you look at these heroes of the faith, different stages of their life, they had to commit all in. It wasn't holding anything back with the Lord. And so.
And that's not just about money. I mean, that does not apply just to money. It's everything.
It's your heart. It's a heart issue.
The whole money thing in the parable, the reason that the Lord is talking about money for 3.5 years in his ministry is because nothing goes to the heart, you know, no pun intended, to the heart of the matter faster than your love and use of money. Okay? I heard I don't know if you guys remember who Mike Milken was. He was the junk bond king in the mid 80s.
Yeah, of course I do.
So he makes like $580 million 1 year in 1985. Of course, it's all insider trading, but that's a whole other matter. But it's Wall Street, right? Okay. So he makes five, and that at the time, that was an enormous amount of money. I mean, it still is, but you know what I mean? So it's $580 million in 1985. And I remember he's given a 60 Minutes interview, and they're asking him about this extraordinary amount of money. And he literally looks at the camera and says, look, money is just a way of keeping score. I've never seen a non-Christian so detached from money. He understood at a deeper level what that the money, it wasn't about the money. Okay. It was something that was driving him way deeper than money. Okay. And that's what the parables are about. Look, the money is the way of keeping score. It's a deeper issue. It's, do you trust me or do you trust what that money represents? You trust me or do you trust the freedom and the lasciviousness and the lifestyle that that money can provide? Okay. And where we're going to get to, and it really, look, it's not about how many dollars do you have in your bank account. Look, you can be a miser and totally not trust the Lord and have $100 in your bank account. Okay. This is ultimately about each of us, where our love lies. And are we going to have everything, our money and our time? Look, money at a deeper level. Okay. And the reason the Lord really has a problem with false weights and measures is money is the way that we actually save and expropriate into the future time and labor. Okay. And so when you're tampering with money, you're literally stealing a man's prior labor. That's a value, and it represents blood, sweat, equity. It represents labor in the past that he can lock up into the form of currency or money and take forward in time and then purchase things with that prior sweat equity. Okay. So again, when you're talking about the use of money, it's not just digits. Okay. It's your blood, sweat, and tears that you're still placing at the feet of the Lord and saying, I trust you. I trust that you're a good God. I trust that, and look, we all, guys, have made poor investments, okay? It doesn't mean that everything that we're going to invest in is going to be a winner, but it means that our Heavenly Father will reward us for that faithfulness in spite of what that current investment looks like, okay? So that's when we look at the future, when we look at War Cycles with Martin Armstrong, when we look at 2023, when we look at, look, there is enough time today, as long as there is breath in your lungs, today is the acceptable day to change our behavior, to recommit our heart, to recommit our finances, recommit our time, and whether we have a week left to live on this planet or 50 years left, we can re-engage. I think that the Lord, as we do this, I think that the Lord will outpour creative, witty inventions, new systems, and he will begin to intervene on our behalf in the affairs of men. But if we are going to go along with the Klaus Schwabs of the world, if we're going to be shell-shocked, if we're going to just sit there and let evil triumph because good men do nothing, then I can't feel sorry for, I mean, this is sowing and reaping. I mean, at some point, we're not going to be able to feel sorry for ourselves. We are going to stand before God and give an account of what did we do. I know you want to, Doug. I know you want to, Steve. I want to have a volume read on my behalf of everything that we did with our time and our finances and our family and our companies to resist evil.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Doug, how much time do we have left?
We've got about 9 minutes left, and this is incredible. Aaron Brickman, you've got to come back to continue this, but Steve, over to you. Go ahead.
Well, I think the parables are really critical because what I see in the parable of the faithful stewards versus the unfaithful, the fear was the thing that kept the man who had one talent hid it and wouldn't do anything with it. I'd say that's the majority of Christendom, wouldn't you at this point, Aaron? Because fear is basically what drives most Christians' decisions. Now, I know there are financial analysts, but I think if you even take it to the level of financial planners, I just got an email from one the other day. I never heard from the guy, but I guess he's been listening to you and I, Doug, for 17 years or something. But the idea that somehow God is running short and needs a loan, that's not it. God's really concerned with our, how do I say this, our caring for others. And Doug, I want to thank all the Hagman listeners, and I want to thank everybody who's helped the best and stuff. But now we're talking about God is not blind. And, you know, it's kind of like stepping out. Everybody else was asleep in the ship when Peter, you know, stepped out on the water, actually not asleep, they're huddled together, scared, and he steps out of the boat. The USS Lollipop sucker carnival cruise, no, I better not say that, USS sucker cruise is sinking. It's just like the Titanic. And, you know, what's happened is, in my, that's where I was going to go with carnival. In my opinion, the majority of Christendom, spelled with a D-U-M-B, not an O-M, has embraced the carnival atmosphere. They want to do everything to keep their quote-unquote parishioners. And I say this, what they're doing, Aaron, is they're causing what would be parishioners with an A to turn into parishioners with an E. In other words, instead of rescuing the perishing, they're making sure that the members of their congregations perish. And Doug, you and I have talked about this too. What's going to happen to the megachurch when there's an interruption? And there will be an interruption, and it's already showing up in food availability on a large scale. What's going to happen? Are those mega preachers going to open the doors? And had they had enough forethought to know they can't send somebody down to Shopko, Walmart, whoever they're going to go to, Costco? You know, the thing is that what happens then, in your opinion, Aaron, to the gospel that wasn't, let's just say this, the fake manifestation of the gospel when that day comes? Because I'm of the belief it's going to come and we're going to begin to see it in the fall. We're already seeing it.
Well, I think the gospel is going to flourish. The gospel does not flourish in good times. Okay. It is a historical norm. Okay. When I'm talking to young Christians, I'm like, when God wants to test you, he's not going to put you in hard times. That's easy to love the Lord when you're sucking. What he's going to do is he's going to bless you financially. Man, when he blesses you financially, you better be paying attention. You are being severely tested. Now, you don't feel like you're being tested, but that's where you can wander away so quickly, where the things of this world will drown him out. Okay. So where I think the gospel, I think as we go through the storm, look, there's more lost that are awake. Look, I'm not going to give it a figure, but in my daily life, I find that the lost are asking more intelligent questions and waking up more than the Christians. Okay. They know something is terribly, terribly amiss. Okay. Now they have no clue what the purpose of humanity is, what the purpose of life is, who God is. I mean, they are clueless. We are so blessed, all three of us. We are beyond. It amazes me the blessing of God that is upon us, not even by our own choice, by who our parents were, the circumstances of our life, that God has saved us, that we have these solutions, and a world is perishing and hungry for and doesn't even know the right questions to ask. Okay, it's mind-boggling that we know the Lord. Okay, and I think out of that we have got to get busy again. We got to engage. Okay, this world as it goes through this transition over the next 12 to 18 months is going to be hungry and desperate. Look, maybe the masses will go along, maybe they won't, but it's never about the masses. It's always about the individual heart, the individual person God has placed in your life. Okay, change. We have got to stop thinking of change as being overnight and from the top down. It is, Jesus took 12 disciples and he knew only 11 of them were worthwhile. Okay, and that was his plan. Okay, I'm just going to take 12. Okay, that is not the way the church would approach anything nowadays, right? I mean, we'd have all kinds of big seminars and training. Went local, and he knew if I can affect these 11 men's hearts, I'll set the world on fire. Okay, and I think that we have got to get back to it. Here's an interesting stat for you guys. I think, and Steve knows this, I've told him this. Do you know how many people actively in the colonies in 1776 during the Revolutionary War? Do you know how many people actively participated in the Revolutionary War?
I think the figure is around 3%.
You're absolutely right, Doug. That is mind-boggling. Right. The powers that be know this. They know this. Okay. This has not escaped their notice. Okay. You can have revolutions, positive revolutions. I'm not talking about violence against the government. There's way better ways to have revolution than violence. Okay. Way more effective ways. Talk about that another day. But going against revolution in the positive sense, it's not the majority. So everybody in America needs to stop thinking we need some majority consensus for change. Okay. There is plenty of Christians in this nation that could literally turn this nation right side up. History proves it. The numbers prove it. It's whether they're going to move and act in unison. And here's how you do it in unison. You're not waiting for Steve Quayle to hold a conference on how we're going to do this. Look, we have a leader. His name is Jesus. Jesus speaks to you, Doug. He speaks to you, Steve, and he speaks to me. And he can get us all on the same page in our individual devotions, and we can meet up. Okay? It happens all the time in the church. Okay? It happens all the time in my marriage. He'll talk to me. He'll talk to my wife, and we'll come together. And he's already worked things out, so we don't have to argue, and we don't have to fight over an issue. Okay. The point is, are there enough men and women, godly men and women in this nation that are still asking and seeking him? I'll tell you what, if there's not, Vegas won't give you good odds on this nation surviving. With God, all things are possible. It literally is up to us. Okay. I think we are going to be embarrassed when we get to heaven and we see history, and we see how much God had placed in the hands of his people, and they just whiffed on the ball. They thought it was somehow he was just going to intervene, and it was up to them. It was up to them to pray. It was up to them to evangelize. It was up to them to invest their resources and their time and their money.
That is a very good stopping point right there, because we are virtually out of time here. We've got about 90 seconds left. I want to thank Aaron Brickman and invite him back. Please come back and finish this. What an intense topic, and a very important one, especially as we enter into begin to enter into the fall. Goodness, how time flies. And of course, into next year. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, Aaron Brickman. All of the contact information will be at HagmanReport.com. Steve, what a marvelous show. Again, you can close it out. We have 60 seconds to you, Steve. Go ahead.
Well, I think that what the 60 seconds has to incorporate is the bottom line. Don't look to anybody else to come to your rescue. Look to Jesus and ask him to help you be the solution to whatever problem that's troubling you. Take up someone else's issue and watch how God, and I'm talking freedom, I'm talking liberty. And by the way, I use Gandhi as an example. You know, no greater peaceful, nonviolent result I know of in history, okay? There wasn't. So here's the thing. You know, well, and you'll know this, Doug, the left is trying to push civil war. And the bottom line is there will be a civil war, Wilkerson and others, but where we're at with God determines how we come out of it and how we go into it. So, Aaron, thank you again. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thanks, Doug, for having us both on.
Thank you. Aaron, God bless you. Come back, please. Steve, God bless you, my friend, for putting this together. And with that, have a great night, everyone. Good night.